At the youngest of ages, I was taught not to worry. But nobody ever taught me how not to worry. And the fact that I would worry when I knew I shouldn't be worrying only made the worry worse. Now the little things or the lesser things, with experience, we learn how to handle those. The checkout line, it says about 12, he's got 30. I know because I counted twice. Annoying and frustrating, but that kind of worry seems to pass relatively quick as the day goes on. I'm talking about the deep kind of worry, the worry that kept some of you up last night, the worry that finds its pit in the belly and causes problems there or in the back or the neck, the worry that brings about those migraines, that concern and that fear that at times makes it difficult to breathe. That's the kind of worry that no one taught me at a younger age how to lessen. Maybe you don't have that kind of worry. I do. And I don't want it. And I need help in learning how to lessen it and altogether eliminate it. And that help is provided for us by Almighty God, who gives us a prescription. And I'm going to call this practice, this Christian practice, relinquishment. For some, it might be abandonment or detachment, but there is the possibility for the worry to be lessened and gone, not by my ingenuity, not by my resolve, through my surrender to the living God, who, guess what, doesn't want me to be filled with worry and fear. Relinquishment, for it to be taken away. I'd like to just take a moment, just right now, privately, silently, and just call upon the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, to just bring to mind a pressing worry, anxiety, or fear. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do that for you right now, that worry, that fear, that anxiety that is really pronounced. Yeah. And if there's more than one, we just sort of focus on one. Let it be concrete. And what I'd like to do is to invite you to join me with that worry, with that one that the Holy Spirit has just placed before us, to walk through four steps, four biblically based steps of relinquishment. And with each step, I'm going to provide insight into why this step is actually such a natural step to take in our own daily living, that these steps, far from being extraordinary, are actually quite natural and reflexive. A step one, we, in prayer, that means to God and with God, we admit to God what we fear most might happen. You know, when there's an emergency and we dial 911, we don't beat around the bush to tell the authorities what it is that's most pressing. We cut right to the chase. When we seek out insurance assistance, we don't hold back what's most valuable. In fact, there's something that's most pressing that we share with the insurance agent that must be protected. When it's a medical concern that drives us to seek assistance, We don't present ourselves when we have a concern, gee, I'm really doing well. But rather, we go right to the heart of the matter. And we simply express what it is that seems to be most wrong. Well, step one in the practice of relinquishment, in this biblically based recipe, if you will, this practice to follow, to help to lessen anxiety and fear and altogether to drive it away, is in prayer to admit to God what we fear most might happen. I'd like you to join me right now. That fear, that worry that the Lord placed before us, reminding us that it's real within us. And right now, we're just admitting to God what we fear most might happen. Boy, I'm experiencing a lessening of the worry just by kind of naming it that way, myself. And that takes us to step two. And step two is placing the situation in God's hand. I struggle with this because I all too often think it's my doing. No, it's my surrendering, placing it in God's hand. You know, for many of us, we naturally seek out experts. And why do we seek out someone who knows more than we do in a particular area? You know why? Because they know more than we do. That's why we seek them out. We actually want their expertise. We don't seek them out to somehow brag how smart we are. We do so because there's a benefit for us to receive from someone who understands something more clearly than we do. We trust their counsel. We let them tell us what we need to do. Step two, place the situation in God's hands. In prayer, we have admitted to God what we fear most might happen. Let's practice the second step together right now and just place the situation. Whatever it is for you, I know what it is for me. It's particular to us all. We just place the situation in God's hands. We've done step one and step two of the four steps of relinquishment. In step three, we tell God that we will accept whatever God allows to happen. This is probably the hardest one for me because I want to negotiate the deal. I want it to be conditional. I'm willing for God to do certain things usually, not whatever God chooses. I start with the end all too often, and then I try to coax the God of the universe. It sounds insane because it is. I try to coax the God of the universe to get it together my way. But step three is an honest acknowledgement that we will accept that whatever God allows to happen, there's no but, there's no if, there's no unless. It's simply to acknowledge the acceptance. So having in prayer admitted to God what we fear most might happen, having placed the situation into God's hand, I now invite you to join me for this third step of the practice of relinquishment and to tell God that you and I will accept whatever He allows to happen. There's both a little difficulty for me, but there's also a release that I feel in doing that. Because I'm not controlling it. And that leads us to the fourth and to the final step, to acknowledge that God's ways are always better than my ways. It hearkens the prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter, verse 9. So high are the heavens above the earth, are God's ways above our ways, are God's thoughts above our thoughts. Let him be the God of the universe and the Savior of your life. Not buddy, but God. And simply acknowledge that his ways always are better than ours. We see again in this powerful gospel episode the desire of no less than the God of the universe to personally encounter and to heal when we present ourselves as we are. And not just to heal from a distance. Did you catch the detail in Mark's first chapter? He extends and touches the one who pleads humbly and confidently, if you wish, you can cure me. And he says, I do will it. Friends, in prayer, we first admit it to God, what we most fear might happen, and then we place the situation into God's hands, and then we told God that we will accept whatever he allows to happen, and we're ready for the fourth and final step of the practice of relinquishment. I just invite you to join me, just simply to acknowledge that God's ways are always better than ours. This practice of relinquishment is a path to the lessening of worry, the lessening of fear, the elimination of it, if we really give ourselves over to it, if we really are committed to practicing it. That which has hold on us, which is ungodly, will loosen its grip. I was moved by the Spirit to share this with you on the eve of Lent, to invite you, as I'm inviting myself, in these 6 weeks of grace to approach it differently. Typically, I've approached Lent as a spiritual athlete. I'm going to add one more sacrifice, I'm going to add one more alms, self-giving, and I'm going to add one more prayer. And I'm going to do it, and at the end of Easter, I'm kind of the same that I was on Ash Wednesday, but I had done a few more things. I want to invite us to be transformed, to be different on Easter than we are on Ash Wednesday, to be different for worry and fear and anxiety that is so pronounced in some of our lives right now, for it to be less. What an Easter morning it would be for that worry to be less or to be gone by practicing relinquishment. And for some, that practice might be helped, advanced, strengthened, fortified by means of participating in a small group. Some measure of accountability in doing that in my own life, for sure. And I'm going to invite, she's already behind me. I felt it. Kind of like the blind sides. There's someone there. I better get rid of the ball. I want to invite Sister Marilyn Marie to share with us some opportunities for those who simply may be interested and able to participate in this continuing offering of the practice of relinquishment in the Lenten season.
So the reality is that each of us approaches our spiritual disciplines and practices differently. We're individuals. And for some of us, it's really important to join with others for support and accountability. So as a leadership team, we'd like to offer some opportunities for small groups to to gather to delve more deeply into the practice of relinquishment and to continue to practice that. So we've tried to offer as many times, different days and different times of the day to meet your schedules. So you will find both in the gallery and in the narthex on the table these sign-up sheets that have the various opportunities listed. And we would encourage you, if you feel so called, to sign for one of those groups. We're aware that you may not be ready to do that today. You might not have your calendars with you. So if you want to take a sheet with you, and then we would ask that you either call or email me. We had originally said by Tuesday at noon. That would be the preference. We may need to extend that a little bit because of the weather. But if you could let us know what group would work for you, you will receive a call by the end of the week acknowledging that you signed up, what group you're signed up for, and where that group will meet. Also, in your pews, you may have noticed these small purple sheets. This is for anyone to take home, whether you sign up for a small group or not. Simply list those four steps that Father went through. You may want to take these, post them somewhere, stick them in a book that you read daily. It just ingrains them more in us, and it continues to help us to practice that relinquishment. So should you choose to sign for a small group, your commitment involves staying with that one group, and you'll meet three times. So it's not every week during Lent, it's every other week. You'll come together with that group. So it's not, well, I'll catch this group this time and another group another time. We do ask that you stay with that one group. I'll be in the narthex after Mass. Sister Constance Marie is around also if you have any questions or would like a further idea or explanation of the small groups. Thank you.
Friends, let's stand.